Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to another episode of Podcast P, presented to you by Prize Picks, a Wave Sports and Entertainment original. I got my guys with me today, Dallas Rutherford and Jackie Long.
Yeah, yeah.
And we got a special guest today. This guy right here is the Turkish, well, once was the Turkish Michael Phelps, but scratched that to be one of the greatest young Turkish players coming out of Turkey into the NBA. Huge Harry Potter fan. Got to talk about that. We got Alperen Sengun.
Come on. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, my guy. Welcome to the show.
Hold up. Dallas, give me the ball. Basketball, please.
You want the ball?
Just give me the basketball.
Fresh out the gate.
Right
before
to
we
it.
Started, but I got to ask you, man. I know people love sports. And they love basketball. Please tell me what the hell you be doing at the free throw line with the basketball. Because you be like this, man.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, bro.
And then you shoot the ball.
I'm just nice to be bowling. It can be help me in the free throw, you know. I'm just, that routine is started like a couple of years ago.
From just, where?
I know, just... I was talking to all the time.
Can you show me what you're doing?
No, don't touch that down. He just kissed it.
No, I didn't.
You're right.
Show me what you do, man. Because they need to have the lights off when you shoot your free throws. It's like real sex appeal.
I'm not gonna.
It's like, show me what you do.
I'm not gonna tell the world,
but, you know, it's just a secret for me. It's like, you know, I'm not telling anybody, but I'm just talking to ball nicely and spinning like this.
Uh-huh.
And then doing that,
giving her a little love,
one variable and shut. Yeah, but if he's not getting in, I'm talking to bat another time.
I'm talking shit next time. Where did it come from? Did you just have a stretch of just not shooting well from the free throw line, and it was like, you know what? Let me get a little positive juju on this basketball.
Like when I was playing in Turkey last year, it was like my free throw person was like sick. 85, 86, something was like that. And then, you know, I just didn't want to change it. It was really good. Right now, it's not doing well that much, like 65 or something. But I just don't want to change it.
So you're mad at her right now?
I'm talking bad right
now.
You're
talking bad.
And are you consistently saying the same things?
Yeah, generally, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. For example, this beginning of season, last season I was saying different things. Right now I'm saying different things.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's kind of all the time same thing.
Kind of all the same thing, okay.
Does she got a name?
No.
What do teammates say? Like, I know teammates got to joke around. Like, what do they say about it?
Oh, actually, they're not talking about it. Yeah, they just sometimes messing. Of course, in the practice, do that shit. But like, you know.
Yeah, because if you miss one, if I'm your teammate and I'm at the free throw line with you and you miss one, I'm like, hey, talk to your ball, man.
Yes,
talk to your ball.
Exactly doing that. Yes. They're doing that, but it's just a long routine, you know. I don't want to do in the practice and take everyone's time.
So it's only game time?
Yeah, just game time.
Okay.
That's funny. What was the... the other dude who used to have that free throw line, he used to give everybody the lane violations. He used to shoot it. It is.
Giannis tried to do that, yeah.
Chuck Hayes. Oh, Chuck there's Hayes. A lot of, you know. Yeah.
He used to shoot. It didn't make you.
He used to have that little.
He shot with his wrist. Yeah. Only with his wrist.
Yeah.
If you really watch his free shot.
And he didn't bend his. He didn't bend his knees. It was like off the toes. And it
that's
was just
an ugly free throw, though. That's not really like something he does, like a routine. But there's been a lot of awkward or non-traditional routines that we've seen throughout the years. What are some of the routines that you guys have seen that you've thought was a little interesting?
I mean, Gilbert Arenas had the three, you know, Rich behind Hamilton. The back.
What about
Jeff Hornacek,
Hornacek.
Who was favorite, buddy.
Huh? He was touching the face. His face three times. He was my coach, he was assistant coach my first year.
Okay.
And he was telling me that.
Okay.
He does like, it for his kids.
Yeah, he was.
I read that.
For his kids.
For his kids.
Maybe he should start, you know.
Doing something for the kids.
Yeah, you really don't. Do you have a free throw? Like, yours is just.
No, he just wonder when shoot.
I just do this. I what?
Like, if you shoot do it, you know, you don't need to, like,
call get ready for it. Yeah. I mean, what would yours be, Jackie, if you were going to have a free throw routine? Like, what
would you do?
Yeah.
Shit, I probably.
You got the ball right here.
I got to keep it with the crowd and the fans. Every time I go out and make them say something with me, I just probably be say something like, Bunky! They already know. They going to say it with me.
Back of the rim.
It's okay. As long as I got the fans in it with me, Bunky going to make it.
Let's take a brief break from the episode. Look, the NBA season is here, and Prize Picks has got you guys covered when it comes to making some money.
That's right. With the season here, Prize Picks is helping me cash in. Prize Picks is a daily fantasy app, and with the new NBA season here, you can select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and turn $25 into $250, baby. Look, Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry less than 60 seconds.
It's also that time of the year where many sports are happening at the same time, and of course, Prize Picks allows you to pick combo projections across football and basketball with specials so you can support all your teams while still cashing in.
Love cashing in, because I know for me, that's all I do. I don't know about you though, Dallas, but look, that's a story for another day. Be sure to visit prizepicks.com/podcastp and use code podcastp for a first deposit matchup to $100. And you already know what time it is. Cha-ching! Now back to the episode.
So I brought it up before you got to the NBA. Swimming was another thing you took up, and you had a crossroad of deciding either take their swimming route or basketball route. Ultimately, you know, you chose the right decision, but you know, was it tough making that decision? How did basketball stand out?
Actually, like I was taking class like swimming and basketball, you know, but I was doing other sports too, like soccer, like tennis and other things, you know, but like then like my high and other stuff that coach in swimming class, you know, he said normally you need to pay for going to take class, you know, and then but that coach was telling me we're gonna like make you so good, like, you know, we're not gonna charge from you, just come here and then just take class, you know, but it was just so boring, like, you know, I'm already a good swimmer,
yeah,
and then they're just showing you like how to do this slow, like, yeah, you know. And I didn't want to do that shit, just, you know, like, I'm going to basketball. Yeah. And my dad was sporting more basketball, too. So, you know, it was so quick decision. I just make it basketball.
Got it. Yeah, I can't even imagine. Like, my oldest daughter, we put her in swim class, and, like, she hates swimming now. Like, it almost really? Is the reverse effect
it's
of it. So
boring. Olivia, you like it now?
Yeah. She's like, oh, so boring.
As much
so
as they boring. Like
I mean, like,
to
she'll,
the pool.
She likes to swim, like hot day, likes to be in the pool. But when it comes to like taking swim lessons and like swim camp, she's like, no, it's so boring.
It is boring, yeah.
And I get it. Like, you have to love swimming. Like,
and if even you know how to swim, if you're good at it, you know, it's just so boring. Like, I don't want to do all that slow things, you know.
How often do you swim now? Do you swim at all anymore? Like, just for, you know, throw it back a little bit?
Bring just summers.
Summer?
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing to do swimming?
What's
like
it called?
Jumping
like,
in the high spot.
No, problem. I'm talking about they got the backstroke. Yeah. They got the butterfly.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I don't really care about that.
Are you good at, you know, like how the water polo, like water polo people, they know how to
stay afloat,
yeah,
tread water.
Tread. right? You good at that?
What is that?
Like where you just, you can't water. Hold the side of the pool. You just got to stay in one place and tread water.
Yeah, of course I'm good at that. Yeah. Like,
I think that's a Euro thing, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, and my dad was a fishing man. Okay. Like, you know? And then I grew up in like water. So yeah. We were always going somewhere, you know?
Because actually your teammate, fun fact, right? I was just in Serbia and Montenegro,
yeah,
with Boban,
yeah, Bobby,
and we're playing like this water sport, right? And we're like 40-50 feet above water, and we're playing like this game where you got to catch, we're throwing like a little tennis ball around, or a little volleyball around, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to catch it and you can't drop it and throw it to the next person. It's like four or five of us in the water, and I'm struggling, like they got two hands outside of the water. I got one, and I'm like using that one to like stay afloat. And I'm looking at them, and they like, bro, no cap, like, damn near their abs was out the water.
Well, Boban was probably standing.
That's what I asked. Yeah, I'm like, bro, like, are you standing?
He had to be standing.
No, but his homies was like, you know, 5'8", you know, like they weren't like the best shape, you know what I mean? Like, no, but and they're like all the way out the water. Like, there's a picture. I'm gonna show y'all a picture. And like our wives and shit is on the boat watching us, and they take a picture of us. And I'm like literally like this waving, like damn near like drowning.
You drowning.
And all of them is like this,
trying to act like you're having fun.
I had a blast, but like I was worn out, like just from trying to stay afloat.
No one is crazy, man. When we going to Bahamas, you know, everyone does that water slides. Boban is so tall though, but he's not even scared. Like he does all of them, bro.
Yeah, I love Bobby. Love Bobby because he like as big as he is, like he's just a regular human being. Like he enjoys all the fun shit in life.
Yeah,
and he doesn't care. Like if he I'm big, care. So what? I'll try it. Like
always, he's positive. You know.
Yeah, great teammate. Great teammate.
I don't know if you know, I'm nosy on this show. Real nosy.
Are you?
Yeah, man. I know some things about you that you probably think I didn't even know, huh?
Yeah, probably.
I'm going to tell you what I did. I did my little research, right?
Okay, let me see.
I know you won MVP multiple times, right?
Yeah, I got
that. Uh-huh. No. Let me do my research. Don't you tell me what you got. You got one in the Turkish Junior League, right? Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, you got one in the Turkish Basketball Super League.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And right after that, what did you want to do? You want to enter the draft. You wanted to address.
Yes.
But the coldest thing about it, winning all these MVPs, how old was you?
18 years old.
Come on, man. Come on, man. You see how I know stuff? I know these things. Now, I want to know, with being 18, winning all these MVPs, the question I'm asking you is kind of stupid, but I'm going to go ahead and ask you anyway. How did you know it was time to move on to the NBA?
Like, it was really hard, you know? It's really hard for the, like, European peoples coming to America, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of people was telling me, don't go, play, like, in EuroLeague 1 year, mm-hmm. get more improved yourself, you know? But, like, there's a lot of rules in, like, Europe, like, you can handle it that easy. And, for example, maybe you guys know Fenerbahce is a big club. You know what I'm saying? Maybe. Mm. It's like really in big club in Turkey, okay. You know? Okay. They have a lot of money and other shit. And I was playing in Beşiktaş. It wasn't a like, Turkish league is a, like, they're saying three good league in the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't playing like other, like championship league and like Euro league and other things. And Fenerbahce gave me big money, like, 2 million or something, mm-hmm. 2 million euro or something, they give it to me. I wasn't taking that much money from Beşiktaş, but if I was like expecting that contract, you know, it was everything getting harder for me because they're putting buyout your contract. And if you're going to go NBA, you need to pay like $3 million or some stuff, you know, which is stupid because like they're going to make money because I'm going to play 1 year or something. Mm-hmm. And even they're not going to let me go, you know. And I said, no, I'm just going to play here. I'm playing 30, 35 minutes over here, you know. I don't want to go big team and play 20 minutes. Because in Turkey, if you are like Turkish player, they're not like supporting you that much. You know what I'm saying? Like they're always going American players, like European players, you know. They're not supporting that much Turkish players. And then I said, I'm not going to go over there. I'm just going to go NBA. I'm just going to go draft it in this summer. And even I'm not playing over there, I want to like improve my language, my body, you know, and it's time's going to come and I'm going to play one day, right. You know, mm-hmm. And then that's happened. I didn't listen to anybody. My even my like agency was telling me, you know, wait, but mm-hmm. I said no.
Yeah.
I just want to go.
I mean, you, all them MVPs, why wouldn't you go?
Yeah,
it's
for
time
sure.
to go. Right. You don't need yeah. to be where you at no more.
So that's you true. Just felt you felt ready, like wasn't.
Yeah, I was ready. Yeah, yeah. But I knew it all. I knew it always. I'm gonna go NBA one day, but I didn't expect I'm going to that early. Like I was thinking 21, maybe 22. You mm-hmm. know, but it was a big step when I went to Beşiktaş that year. You know, I can't say we were lucky because Beşiktaş didn't have that much money. And they couldn't get like normally 5 American players you can get in your team, and other players need to be Turkish, you know. And Beşiktaş didn't have that much money, and then which is it was great for us, you know. And mm-hmm. we were so young team, and then they just got 3 American players, and they didn't get anyone in front of me, so it was a big chance for me to play. So. And I use it, you know.
Got it.
As in right
shined.
Way.
Okay.
So you make the jump to the NBA on draft night. You know, you get drafted by Oklahoma, but then you immediately get traded to the Houston Rockets. And yeah. so you got introduced to the business side of the NBA. So talk a little bit just about the draft night, your experience, some of the emotions you had. And did you have any insight? Did you know you were going to be traded?
No, I didn't know, actually. Actually, I like... it was like, you know, everyone is talking about before drafted, who's going to go this pick, you know. I expect I'm going to go before 10. Mm-hmm. It was like Orlando, Sacramento, like 8, 9, you know. We passed that. And then they said Washington, Charlotte was other teams. But I knew it, they're not going to pick me because I didn't even work out with them. I didn't even work out with Houston, actually. Mm. But my agent was telling me all the time, they calling me for you. They want to learn what do you do? Like they calling everybody, you know? I was like getting bored because I was like getting nervous. They're not going to pick me, you know? Like I'm going high pick. I didn't want that. Actually, I didn't want to go to OKC that much. Like, and how I can say my OKC workout wasn't like maybe some of my worst workout I did since I came here, you know? It was really so hard. They said, you're going to OKC, but my agency was in my table, you know? He said, you're going to OKC, but... they're going to trade in Houston. But I don't even know anything about Houston mm-hmm. because I didn't even talk to them, you know. But they were telling me, OKC is so boring. I hope not, you're not going over there and nothing. You know, when they told me you're going to Houston, I was a little happy, you know,
yeah.
because something to do over there, people said.
Right.
I was lucky. It's a lot of Turkish people over there too. So which just helped me a lot. So
man. Yeah, I don't I'm think you can find many Turkish people in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
no way.
How do you,
no
when
way.
They call your name and you said you really didn't want to go, like, how do you like kind of cover your emotions? Like, you have to go out there and smile still, like.
I really fucked up actually because, you know, Adam Silver was saying like they were saying hug him when you guys going over there, like be comfy mm-hmm. next to him, you know. But there's a video. I'm taking my cab and going next to him. He wanted to hug me, but I'm just holding his hand. And then, but because I'm so nervous, you yeah. know, I don't know what to do and I don't know how to talk. I wasn't knowing English that time. Like it was like 0 or something, you know, I was just yeah. saying yes, no, like, you know, and I just hold his hand. He wanted to hug me, but like, I was so nervous. I didn't know. I'm seeing all that things after that night, you know, all the videos they were talking about, you know, but he was so nice. He was telling me like, I'm sorry. I don't know Turkish, like, you know, I can talk with you. I said, no problem.
Yeah.
I was just saying like easy things.
Yeah.
So that's all I can say.
It wasn't personal, Mr. Silver. It wasn't personal. Early in your career, combined for 42 wins, first couple seasons in Houston. But I know that's different from you. You've been successful over in Turkey. You know what winning is like. You've won huge accolades. Now you're in a new city, new culture, new league. Talk to us about on the basketball side, going through that first couple years in Houston, you guys weren't successful, weren't winning, tough times. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Like you said, I was winning all the time in Turkey, you know, but and in Europe is much more different because if you're losing, everyone is sad, like no one having fun, you know, mm-hmm. like... You can't even talk in the bus, you know what I'm saying? Because it's looks bad to coaches' eyes, you know. But when I came here, like first weeks, you know, I wasn't having fun. I'm so sad. Like, but I'm see everyone is having fun, you know, like because they saying we have game again 2 days later. If you like thinking this, you're not gonna play good another game. Just live it, you know. But first few weeks, I was like in a really bad mood all the time. But after some point, you know, I said like I need to act like how everybody act like, you know. And then I changed my dad's feelings actually. And then, you know, like you say, we're losing a lot actually, you know. And these things, like losing and winning, after some point is getting used to it, you know.
Right.
Like another game you're going to, you're saying like, we're going to lose again.
Right.
It's putting you that mental, you know. So it was, which is was bad for us. And but now is, you know, a lot of things change, team change. Like I can tell like right now is like we are more mental, like more winning mental, you know what I'm saying? Now, right now, like I said, first 2 years I was losing, but I was having fun. But now still that my old feelings come back, you know, like we're losing and I'm like bad that night. I don't want to do anything. Like, you know, I'm just thinking about a game. But still, like, you know, I think it's great to be back that feelings and just winning mental, you know, and give your everything in the court. And it's working. Like, you know, we're doing great right now.
Yeah.
As long as you're not bored, you good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, bored, you know,
it's a problem.
The expectation is to win at this point, right?
Yeah,
so, like,
sure.
You do go back to those feelings of, like, all right,
yeah,
y'all.
It's great.
One game lost. We know what we got. We've been winning. Like, let's turn this around. Let's get back on track.
Yes.
I know exactly. Like, you know, we were struggling to get a win, you know, this past week or a week and a half.
We know.
Well, this is awkward.
Yeah. No, I mean, but you can speak on that. Like, knowing what that feeling is like, you know.
When yeah, it's, bro, winning, we like, win six in a row. It was so much fun, you know. Everyone having fun,
yeah,
like, happy in practice, you know. But first 2 years, you are coming to practice, you are sad. We had still energy. We were so young. But now it's much more different, you know. Like, everybody's happy. Like, we are, like, winning team right now, you know. And everyone wants to win. That's the big point. Everyone is helping each other, you know. And, like, it's we're having fun. Like, feel good, you know. Like, I never feel that way since I came here. No. It's just great for me and for teammates, you know.
Talk a little bit about, like, your English, because just talking with you, you're good. Like, we understand you and all that, but when you get to Houston, you know, the Rockets maybe had a little concern. You're young. You don't know English. What have you been doing to learn English, and what kind of communication did you have with your teammates when you first got there?
Okay, I'm going to tell. Like, you know, everyone is American in the team.
Right.
And, like, you guys talking so fast, you know. It's, like, hard to understand, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you know. And we didn't have that much European player in our team, you know, first 2 years. Boban was on the team, but Boban English is not perfect.
Great either, yeah.
Also, you're gonna kill me if you see this.
And, you know, Bobby.
Who's better at English, Boban or so far?
You know,
I would say Bobby's probably a little.
Yeah, Bobby.
Really?
Of course. Bobby's got you.
He's in the league 9 years.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be still
his
like
English
talking
better,
shit about that. Like, he's talking shit about me.
English
I'm talking
faster.
Shit about him. Yeah, my English, like, I was really bad. First 6 months, I was like talking. I wasn't talking that much, you know, and I came with somebody else from Turkey, which is his English wasn't perfect too, but he lived before in Europe and other things, and he's in my agent company, and then he was living with me, but that's a like have some good points and bad points, because like you can be lazy, because I was telling him tell this, I was being lazy, you know. In first 6 months, and good things, he was helping me about everything, you know. But maybe I was learning quicker if I was by myself, you know. I still learn, you know.
Yeah.
And then I found out some girl, like she's still my girlfriend, like in almost 2 years.
Okay.
So I got him a little H town thing.
Okay.
How does she feel about it's the whole basketball thing? Is that, you know, she
doesn't know
she's
anything
jealous
about basketball.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay.
She doesn't know she doesn't know anything about sport, actually.
He was asking you about, was she jealous with you having making love with the basketball? That's what he was asking.
Yeah, she always in my ass every after the game. She's saying, she's on what you stole the ball this time, like, you know.
Yeah. So how long did it take until you finally grasped, like, okay, now I'm starting to understand, like, this other language?
I can tell this year, actually.
Until this year?
Yeah, even last year, I was like, do all that things with that Turkish guy, you know, all post-game interviews and other things. But now I can tell I do everything literally by myself.
Any of your teammates teaching you some stuff?
They did before, yeah. But right now, Josh Christopher was teaching me a lot of things, and he knows a lot of like shitty words and other shit. You know, like, even you can't hear anywhere, but he was talking all the time, you know? Yeah, Jalen teach me a lot of stuff too.
Yeah.
And yeah, but this is not good words.
What words did Jalen teach you?
I don't know, like, I can tell right now, but like, you know.
Yeah, be careful.
Yeah, a lot of things.
It is. Have you ever took up another language?
Nah.
No, I wish I knew Spanish.
I want to do it for acting.
I did Spanish 4 years of school.
And you don't know Paquito.
It's little. My wife's Serbian, and so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's Serbian. So when I went back to Serbia, you know, I didn't understand anything they were saying. So when we got back this summer, she got me in touch with a tutor. And so for the past, like, I don't know, couple months, I've been picking up on the language, the Serbian language. And then I downloaded this app called Ling and was learning how to you know,
my
few words here and there on Ling.
The same thing.
Yeah.
She's trying to learn Turkish.
Yeah. We had Jalen Green here last season. And we was talking about his welcome to the NBA moments. And one of his moments was matched up against Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
And he said it was just, you know, he punished me. It was nothing he could do guarding Joel. What was your NBA, like, rookie welcoming to the NBA moment?
I can say after Derek I drafted before the summer league, you know, we were working out with the team for getting ready for summer league. And KJ dunked on me in the practice.
KJ Martin.
Yeah, he dunked on me in the practice. You know, I used to get like every shot in Turkey. Like, I was a like block leader and other things in Turkey, which is the surprise for, you know, for you guys. And yeah, I give him space. I wasn't knowing him.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know who the KJ are before I came NBA. And I give him space to. And I can jump with him in the same time, you know, and he goes that fucking too fast left, right, and go with the left, you know, and then I was a little late and he dunked on me, but I didn't even see he dunked on me or not. I just felt, and then I said, it was my Turkish guy over there. I said, did he dunk on me? And then he said, yes. And then everyone was telling me, oh yeah, welcome to the NBA.
Yeah.
Welcome to the NBA.
Was that an adjustment? Like, the athleticism, like, from being in Turkey and then coming to the NBA, was that like just a wow? Like, it's
I was in Turkey,
so
I was really athletic guy, like, you know, because we have a lot of American players over there too, but not like here. Now when I came here, like, you know, you can't say anymore you're an athletic guy,
you know.
And all that peoples, but I still got some dunks some games, you know. I like, if I catch somebody in under the rim, I still can dunk some.
But y'all ain't got no moments, do y'all?
Huh?
Y'all got any moments?
No.
Someone was getting dunked on yesterday, though.
he had some posters yesterday.
I felt bad for him. It was his first game. It's like, oh my gosh. But he took it like a champ. He took it on the chin. Yeah. Kept
That spin fucking move, that.
It's quick.
Yeah. It's quick. I'm like, God. Like, the first time you did, and I'm usually good picking up on moves. So after you hit me the first time, I'm like, all right, I'm expecting.
No, I knew it. You think I'm going to go baseline, because you all guys know.
Yeah.
When I get the ball, James Harden calling baseline, like, you know. And then, like, I knew it. You're going to close the baseline.
Yeah.
And when I feel you behind me, I said, let me do this.
Yeah.
And I got you, but.
Like, I got crossed on the shimmy. Like,
yeah.
And I fouled you, too.
Yes, they didn't you call fouled me. Big, I fouled it was a big foul.
It was like embarrassing.
I seen you get mad, too.
They didn't call shit.
They didn't call. I'm surprised. I was very surprised they didn't call shit. But after you hit me that first time, I jumped hard left, like, because I thought he was really going baseline. And then the second time, I'm like, all right. And it was on the opposite side. So I'm like, all right, I'm expecting it this time. Hit me with it again. Like,
I hit it, yeah. But
then I was like questioning myself, like, how fast is he? Like,
yeah, it was like awkward quickness.
You know, you know what is the funniest? When I was like in Turkey, you know, that was like always my signature move. And we were in the practice one time. One of my teammates, we were like playing one-on-one, mismatch one-on-one. And then I was playing and I spin baseline so quick. And then he said, I was always seeing this, how you're doing it. But like, I was saying, no, he can do it to me. He can do it to me. Like, and then he said, when you did that to me, it was motherfucking fast. Like, you know, it was like shocked, like, yeah. You know, because like I play physical too. You know, I've hit once, two, and then he thinks I'm going to hit him again. And yeah. Just turning, you know.
That's what I was expecting. Yeah. Like, I was expecting, like, all right, let me, he wants to bang. Like, let's stand him up here. And I literally, like, it was nothing I could do on that play.
Every man knows how dangerous it can get when going for a close shave below the belt. Mm-mm-mm. That's why I trust Manscaped for all my sensitive areas. Hey, wait a minute, fellas. Talk about Manscaped. Why do y'all love Manscaped?
I love because exactly what you said. Take care of those sensitive areas, and I don't got no worries.
What about you, Dallas?
You know, you know, sometimes you got to trim a little bit, you know, maybe, you know, visually adds a few inches or so. So, you go in there with confidence. So that's what you got to do.
Okay.
Well, I don't know nothing about that, but gentlemen across the nation, I have an urgent message for you. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. The brand that took your balls to space is now launching them to Ultra Spear.
Introducing Manscaped's fifth generation performance package featuring the all-new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Yep, 5.0. With new cutting-edge designs and next-generation skin-safe blade heads for different shaves, it's pretty much a spaceship to take your boys downstairs to the next level.
So inside this package, you'll find the star of the show, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Their fifth-generation trimmer features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires.
Also inside this package features the new Weed Whacker 2.0 ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver ball deodorant, crop soother toner, and two free gifts.
Join the 9 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the new Performance Package 5.0 Ultra. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code PODCASTP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code PODCASTP at manscaped.com. Your balls have been through enough. It's time to go ultra with Manscaped. Guys, did you know that 80% of men will experience hair thinning in their lifetime? It's normal, but it doesn't have to be your fate. You can get ahead of thinning with Nutrafol.
Pete, I knew that, and that's why I shaved my head years ago.
So look. Take control of your hair's future with Nutrafol, the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, so you don't have to do that part.
Nutrafol supports healthy hair growth from within by targeting root causes of thinning, such as stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, lifestyle, and metabolism. Through whole body health.
Guys, make sure you take that first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com/men and enter our promo code PODCASTP.
Find out why over 4,000 healthcare professionals recommended Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com/men, spelled Nutrafol.com/men and enter promo code PODCASTP.
That's Nutrafol.com/men, promo code PODCASTP.
So you guys know how much of a Drake fan I am, so you know I'm excited to see Drake and J. Cole on tour. And with today's episode being sponsored by SeatGeek, you know where I'm going to be purchasing my tickets.
That's a great move because SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app with more than 70,000 events every day. from sports to concerts and more. So I'm not surprised that's where you're going to get those tickets.
Yeah, see, I usually hit up Drake for my tickets, but when he don't give them, I just be like, what's the better way? SeatGeek. You know?
They put all the tickets across the web in one place, so you know you're getting the best deal. Then they rate the tickets on a scale from 1 to 10. And finally, every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee, and SeatGeek is the only site that lets you return your tickets ahead of the event with swaps.
I like that. Jackie, I think we should get our passes on SeatGeek.
I'm with it, brother.
Make sure y'all use my code PODCASTP for $20 off tickets at SeatGeek. That's $20 off your first purchase with promo code PODCASTP. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app. So you get drafted, and by year three, you hit a growth spurt, which is crazy. You were 18 when you got drafted, so I guess you still had time to grow. When did you realize that, like, hey, I might be getting taller here?
Actually, I didn't think that, but since I came NBA, I think like I got some couple inches. I grew up, and I don't know how that happened, but it just happened.
Because what would you list it when you first got to the league? What was your height?
I think it was 6'9", but okay. Now it's 6'11".
Now you're 6'11". That's crazy.
Man, yeah. Must be nice.
Must be nice.
Yeah, man.
Y'all ain't doing it right. What's in that Turkish water?
I know they have a lot of things.
Can't tell us that one either.
You tall? Your dad tall?
He's okay. 6'2", something like that. Yeah, my brother's tall. He's like 6'6", 6'5", something like that. Yeah.
But you the tallest?
Yeah, I'm the tallest one. I'm the tallest one all entire my family.
With that height difference now you're 6'11". Did that have an advantage to you? Like, did you feel the advantage going into games?
Of course.
That extra two is helping me here.
Yeah, I don't know, actually. I don't really like realize I grown up, but people is telling me you look big. Mm-hmm. I don't know that much is giving me that much advantage because like a couple inches, I don't think it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. But I grow up with the muscles and and I really work hard this summer too, mm-hmm. because I know it's after you losing two in a row years, you know, it's like something needs to get better. Mm-hmm. And I really work hard this summer, and I was so focused. I was just doing like basketball, lifting, basketball. It was like more lifting this summer for me. And I was in Santa Barbara like 1.5 months. I was just focused on what I'm doing, eating well. And like, you know, it's Santa Barbara like kind of village. Mm-hmm. And if even you want to do something, like there's nothing to do, you know. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even come LA. I just came one time all that 1.5 months because I didn't want to do anything, you know. I just want to do what I'm going to do over here and ready for a season. And when I was in Turkey before Santa Barbara, I was doing just basketball, like my shooting, my mid-range shooting, all that things. I bring some Serbian coach from Serbia, you know, which I like more discipline, you know. And I get used to it when I'm growing up, you know. And I had really great summer and growing up with the muscle and other what I can't do it before, you know. So I'm showing in what I'm in NBA right now.
Yeah, you definitely are. We see the improvement, and I was one that vouched long time ago, I like this kid, man, he's good.
Yeah,
like, kid is good. So I definitely see the improvement. You are one of the best up and coming players, and just stay there wherever you at. Stay there, continue to grow, continue to get better.
Yes.
Use every summer, you know, utilize what my strengths are, what my weaknesses are, and try to make everything as even as possible. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Keep going.
So it's your first season with a new coach, with Coach Udoka. But talk a little bit about, you know, him coming to the team, kind of changing the identity. What's been the biggest change that he's brought to your guys' team, both on and off the court?
He's like, I can say like, he's like great and off the court and on the court. And he's not that old, you know, he's young. He's like acting like a player still. And I can say he's the biggest part, he's like so professional, you know, on the court. He knows what he's gonna do off the court. He's like having fun with us, like, you know, laughing with us, do everything, you know what I'm saying? It's not gonna lie to your face, you know? Mm-hmm. And which is, I like, I grew up in Europe and a little bit, if you guys know, Europe is tough, you know, coach is tough. And right now, like I said, is the bigger part is like being professional. Everybody is so professional, you know, our coaching staff, our players, Fred, like Jeff, you know, We have all that veteran guys. And he brings a lot of things. Like, I can tell even he brings like happiness to us. Like, you know, like mm-hmm. everyone is happy right now. Mm-hmm. On the practice, off the court, like, you know. He's helping us a lot.
Yeah.
Which is great for us.
Yeah, because it says a lot when there's a level of prepared or preparation that you know going into a game, going to a practice, that you feel comfortable with.
Like, yeah.
I know he's going to have us where we need to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, from that point on, it's on us, you know what yeah. I mean, to win the game or to finish, mm-hmm. you know. But, yeah, that definitely says a lot when, you know, changing from the previous coach to Ime now. And, yeah, it's showing. Like, you guys are playing at a high level. Y'all look good, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all definitely look good. It
was young.
Young. Young. And especially yeah. it's good coaching for you guys being young,
for
too.
For sure. It's, like, biggest part for, I think, coaching stuff has changed for us. Like, you know, they're in our mind, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, on the game, you know, even Jalen. Mm-hmm. I can say Jalen was more comfortable first 2 years, you know. I was always, like, a little nervous because I didn't know English that much. And I couldn't like explain myself like that much, you know. Mm-hmm. But even Jalen right now playing great because like Ime, like, you know, in his mind, like if he do bad things, Ime is talking shit to him, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Like he can do the same mistake next position, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like that before, yeah. you know what I'm saying? For me and for other guys. Now, like in defense and offense, and we are awake, you know. We know what we're doing right now, which is great for us. It's like more professional, you know.
How does it feel having a coach like him, knowing he trusts you to run the offense a lot of times through you?
Like, he trusts me. He trusts me in a lot of things, you know. It's making me, like, play more with confidence. Like, I'm shooting well now, you know, like, because he giving me that confidence. He's, like, coming to me in the practice. He's saying, shoot that, like, nobody can talk to you. If I'm not shooting, he's like, oh, come on, man. Like, you know, like,
right.
he's like talking to me. But, like, I can say he just biggest part is talking to us. You know, he's teaching right. us. Like, on the game, he's like calling us, we're going to do this. Come on, like, you know, like, go dominate. Like, he can guard you. Like, you know, he's mm-hmm. like always like this, giving us confidence in the game.
So the communication.
Yeah, communication is the biggest part. And we have, like, other assistant coaches, too, not just Ime. Other ones is like Ime, too. You know, like Smoke, you guys,
yep,
Royal.
No Smoke, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, like, Tigo is a champion, you know. Ben, like, all coaching stuff is great. Like, you know, they're all, like, with, like, Ime. They're, like, in the practice, on the game, you know.
You know, I don't know if you've watched any of our episodes, but P usually rates a young player, and every player that P, like, picks on our show, like, they end up playing well. So I don't know if... It's kind of like the opposite. Like, we've heard of the Drake curse. We might have to start like a P's blessing or something like that. But not just, you know, Paul, but guys like Kevin Durant, Anthony Edwards, a lot of your peers are giving you a lot of high praise in your short time in the NBA. And you guys recently just played against the Denver Nuggets, which I think you've said that Nikola has been one of your idols in the league. Talk a little bit about that game, and have you been able to develop any type of relationship with him yet?
You know, Jokic is like not social media guys and other things. He's just scared about like basketball and family, you know. But which is, he's a great guy, and he's a European. Like, I can say all European bigs and other players like so closely here, like mm-hmm. so close to each other, you know. Mm-hmm. And Jokic saw, of course, what I'm thinking, like what I'm saying about him. I'm pretty sure he saw it, you know, like, and people is telling him, Alpi's like, you know, saying this. Every after the game, he's coming to me, like saying, good job, Alpi, great job, keep her up, always giving me like good talk, you know, which is great for me. I like, not trying to play like him, but like, you know, our games is similar, you know.
Yeah, very similar.
And when we were playing with Clippers yesterday, like we were in the, I think Leonard was shooting or something. Yeah, we were in the line with James Harden, you know, he's a huge player. And then he told me something I didn't understand. And then I said, what? And then he said, like, I'm so proud of you. Like, yeah. He said, yeah, keep her up, you know. And yeah. then I said, like, it's really great to hear from you. Thank mm-hmm. you, man. Like, you know,
yeah,
this awesome. Moments is like amazing moments for me, you know, mm-hmm. where I grow up, mm-hmm. like, and come here, like, sitting with Paul George is like every kid's dream, I can say, you know. Mm-hmm. And where I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is a big, huge dream for me.
Yeah. That's the beauty of the NBA, man. Like, yeah, we appreciate the young guys coming up. And I know in that situation, James is, you know, was in Houston for a long period. And it was almost like, you know, passing the torch to you. Like,
yeah,
you know, I'm proud of what you're doing now. Yeah. And, you know, you're representing for H-Town. So, you know, that's a beautiful moment between y'all two.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great moment. I'm never going to forget, you know. I can always talk about it.
What do you like playing more, offense or defense?
Offense, shot blocker.
Offense?
Yeah. Okay. Offense now.
Well, yeah. I'm saying this because right now y'all defense is real good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's y'all big culture shift right yes. now.
You
and
have
you
to.
Know, you know, if we're going to talk about defense or anything,
yeah,
we got to talk about your teammate, Dylan Brooks.
Oh, man.
Yes, yes. We Dylan got to talk Whelan. About you, Dylan the Willing or whatever. We know you like talking trash and talking shit and, yeah. and all that. His energy is at always, they say 10, but I'm going to say a thou wow. You know, take me back to your first time playing with Dylan and the difference between playing against him and now being his teammate.
Bro, always play against him is a sucks. Everybody knows that, you know, like on like even for big guys, you know, like you're going to set a screen him, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, like, you know, but if we are same team with him, he's a great person. Like mm-hmm. he's helping us a lot, like, you know, off the court, on the court. And when he came to here, and we were in the Bahamas, he was helping us a lot, you know, on the court, off the court. He was always talking. And if you have Dylan Brooks, bro, like, you're just giving him best player on the other team. He just really does everything, like, you know. And which is great for us. Like, I can say I wasn't, like, great defender. But now, like, I'm getting better because we have better defense player on the team.
Right, right.
Dylan, man, like... And he's an energy. He's an energy guy.
He was know? Playing tough.
He's an energy guy.
He is, bro.
Which I appreciate. I appreciate, you know, when guys compete on the defensive end because I'm a defensive guy. I like playing defense. It's just some of the stuff was just like, all right, bro, this is not basketball. Like,
he was walling up. Body
I'll be dribbling and he's holding on to my arm, like hooking it, and I'm like, bro, what, like. And they're not calling it. Like, that was what had me so frustrated yesterday is the shit he was doing. They just weren't calling
that's
it.
That's still, like, you know, but just giving like every, he's that. Giving
yeah,
everything.
I, like, as a competitor.
Every team had, like, this player. Like,
as a competitor, NBA, I appreciate. You know? Like, he might think that, like, oh, I get on. Like, I enjoy playing against Dylan because he's going to make me a better player. Like,
yeah,
he's
course,
out there to.
Sure.
to now
same
I got to start thinking
same
in different ways. To attack him.
What else is he going to do? You know what I mean? You got to think of something.
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching him guard you last night.
It was
a challenge.
Yeah, it was a challenge. It was fun. Yeah.
Has like, his intensity ever stunned you this season? Like something he did stunned you?
Not really. Like he is like, everybody knows who is he, you know, and what he does. Like it didn't surprise me that much.
Mm-hmm.
I know what was coming.
Yeah. So you're in H-Town and, you know, you're there with another legend in Hakeem. How much has he been a help or how closely have you worked with him? I mean, I know, you know, he's been well documented with working with Dwight, with LeBron,
all
Kobe,
legends, yeah.
You know, all the legends. And now you're there. Have you had a chance to work with him?
I've worked with him once. I wanted to work with him like many more times, but like, you know, he's a like busy man.
Mm-hmm.
And we had just one time chance to work with him. He's like 59 or something, mm-hmm. 60, something like that. But it was my first year. And then when we worked together, I was so surprised how he's moving like that still.
Still looks good.
Yeah,
huh?
Like still, you know, like that spin move he does still is like faster than me, you know, like, like we did like 1 hour, 1.5 hour practice together. And then he teach me a lot, like all that things. I can tell like after that time, I was doing spin move a lot, mm-hmm. you know, but not with the like, I was doing post up, but he showed me face play face to face and then do spin move, you know. I wasn't doing that much, but I can tell he like helped me with that, and then I start doing that like spin move and like hook shot, you know.
So the real question, though, that I just have to know, there's a little rumor circulating about Hakeem that he actually charges $50,000 for a workout.
I heard that. So, this summer with Giannis.
Are you sure? Is it because he's busy or is it because it's just caught? Like,
hey, you need some of this
working,
stuff.
Right?
I don't know that though. I don't know. I just heard, but I don't know if it's true or not.
Is that for
but
NBA
I'm
players?
You?
Maybe it's true.
So you didn't pay the 50.
No way.
Okay.
That's just for NBA players.
I don't blame him though. He like, man, these cats is getting that money.
I mean, if you did pay, he might be able to charge more now because you know that's spin move.
Right.
We have like Houston Rockets sale. We have like, you know,
50.
If you are a Houston Rockets player, then he's not charging that much.
Yeah. So y'all get a little discount being
Yeah,
in
a discount. We have some discount.
Because he don't got to travel. You know, like, I get it.
I wouldn't even pay the discount.
25.
I'm not paying that. Not even a discount.
What if he got you better, though?
He better have me starting, and I better be scoring tons of points every game. I'm paying him 50,000. He crazy.
You have to pay him a lot of money to get
That's
there.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, good thing you got yours for free.
Yes.
Yeah, take it to
first
heart
time
with
it's free.
You.
I mean, but when you got Bron, you got Kobe, like.
I'd be charging.
It might just be a rumor just because, like.
I bet you they didn't pay.
Hakeem, I dropped this little 50 for you, like.
I don't believe.
Was just like,
I don't
Hakeem's charging 50.
I don't believe LeBron.
It was 50 though, bro.
No. I'm saying though, like on, Cole. Man. Think about it. Cole probably just threw 50 to Hakeem. Yeah. Like, huh, Hakeem? Like, he probably didn't ask Cole for nothing. Like, here you go. Hakeem.
Nah, he sent him an invoice.
You think he sent the man?
So you're playing great basketball right now, and you're looking like an all-star. And so far, you've been the youngest center to ever post 1,000 points and 200 assists. And with numbers like that, in your mind, are you thinking about making, you know, an all-star team or first team All-NBA? What kind of goals do you have for yourself in the league?
What are you saying right now is a big dream for everybody, you know? And of course, I want to be all-star. I want to be championship. I want to like feel how that's feel, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But before everything right now, I just want to win. Like, you know, I just want to be in the great spot. I want to do best for my teammates and my team, and if that coming with all-star, it's going to be make me all-star, you know, it's going to be like gift next to it. But before all that things, I would just want to be like a winning team player, you know what I'm saying? I'm not looking for like I want to be all-star. Like, I want to be all-star, of course, but I'm not playing like for that. I'm not doing like that rebound assist, like, you know, I'm not trying to get some more assists, more rebound, you know. I just playing positions. I'm just trying to read the right play, you know. And like you said, all-star, of course, it's big dream for me.
Right.
And just one player had all-star before in Turkey. It's going to be history if I do, you know. Like I said, if we're winning, we are a good team, and it's bringing that to all-star for me. I'm not gonna say no, you know, it's gonna be great for me.
You're gonna be an all-star.
You're gonna get there. I know, like, that's the political thing to say, but you gotta be like, you know what, I am an all-star. Because what you're doing is, when you're saying I want to make the right plays, the right reads, like I want to play winning basketball, that's cool. But you know what that looks like for you when you guys have success? You're balling, you're rebounding, you're, you know, making plays defensively. You're setting guys up for, you know, easy catch and shoot opportunities. You're setting screens. Like, you know what that is for you. That's about just being consistent now. You know what I mean? Now you got to hold yourself to that level. Like, I am an all-star. And for me to do this, I just got to be consistent. That's going to make me an all-star. You know what I mean?
Actually, I started doing that this year. Like, for example, before the game, I'm really like locked in. Yeah, I'm so focused. I'm saying like, I'm gonna go over there and like killing it. I'm gonna dominate, you know, like I'm feeding myself with energy and like all that, you know, things before the game. Right now I'm like listening to all that like motivation music right now. Like, you know, I'm saying I'm gonna be best in the court. But like you said, like, of course I wanna be, like you're saying, I wanna be all-star, like, you know. But yeah, like I'm not like saying I'm gonna be all-star, but I'm saying like I'm gonna just go dominate, like might like help winning the team, like, you know. I just thinking like that right now.
Yeah,
like, you know,
because I used to be like that as well. Like, you know, I just want to win games. Like, you know, if all-star happens, it happens. But then I started to realize, like, if I set a standard of how I think I'm supposed to play, then that's what's gonna make me an all-star. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So when I shifted that mindset of like the standard for me, try to go for 30, you know, try to, you know, dominate on both ends, like win games, you know, that's what's going to catapult me and get the votes and get the recognition and put me on that platform as one of the best players in the league. And so, you know, I think it is good to think that way. Like, yeah. There's nothing wrong with having personal goals.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? Just make sure it falls in line with team goals.
Yes,
you know?
For sure.
And just holding yourself to a high standard.
Is there anything you want to ask P or any of us before we wrap this show up?
I want to ask something for Paul George.
Yeah. Okay.
I wanted to
figured
learn.
It would be for Paul.
Yeah,
I
want
to. I thought that too.
Absolutely.
Sure, there's nothing you want to ask me.
Maybe next time. Might
what is it that you want to ask P, man?
I just wanted to learn, you know, because I didn't have yet, and hopefully it's not going to be happening, never.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you get, like, you had, like, some big injuries before mm-hmm. in your career, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did you come back? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, so my first injury really ever was breaking my leg. And when that happened, like, I was at the height of my career, like, feeling the best I ever felt from a mental standpoint, physical standpoint. I just felt like I was just ready for the next step of really making that jump, right? Then I get hurt and just so much fell apart. Team fell apart. You know, the me not knowing if I'll be back to myself in limbo with Nike, like, you know, and at that time I was in conversations with my own sneaker. Like, it was just so much in the air. What helped me was just all I had was to trust myself and make that commitment to, I got to give the best chance for me to come back. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I got to give myself an opportunity. And that was really the best advice that I could have gave myself. Like, you know, being a huge Kobe Bryant fan, you know, one of the things he told me was attack rehab like it was basketball practice. Like, work on getting stronger in the weight room. Work on, you know, not missing a treatment, not missing, you know, rehab, same way you would do with basketball. Yeah. And that went a long ways with me. And so the best advice I could give when knock on wood, hope that situation never comes. But if it does, you got to give yourself the best chance. Like, I know, like, in injuries, there's tedious days. There's, you know, stuff you got to do. You're doing it weeks at a time. It's the same thing, but you got to go through that. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, the best advice I could give is just treat, you know, every day, you know, as an opportunity to get better and stronger, and, you know, over time you'll start to check that box.
Yeah,
you know, but you can't, like, injuries, you can't make it a mental thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Once I told myself it's sports, it happens, it's part of the game. And then when I came back, you know, I could have been in a headspace of like, damn, I don't want to get injured. Like, you know, now I'm playing scared and you know. Like, just little stuff, scared to dive on a ball, scared to box out, scared to go jump for a rebound. Yeah. Like, you know, I could have been, I could have been in that space, but I was like, nah, fuck that. If I'm on this court, I'm myself. Like, if I get hurt again, that's just the, you know, that's part of the game.
If you think you're going to get injured, you get injured.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. If you're not thinking about it, like, it's more easy.
Because then you'll stop making plays that you're used to making. You know what I mean? Like, you'll now you're like, you'll hesitate. And then that little window of hesitate, now you're putting yourself in danger. That's when you're really putting yourself in danger, when you hesitate of being aggressive or attacking the ball. Or like,
that's what I was wondering about, because, like you said, you were like almost your prime, like prime time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you were playing amazing and then you got hurt. It's like, can fuck your mental, like your life, everything, you know? And then, like, you didn't play for a while and then you come back and then you are playing great again. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, which is so hard. Like he said, like, you're getting scared, what you're gonna do, like, don't jump, don't do this. But like, you know, that's a big mental, you coming back and playing with the same way, you know? I never had before in my life, but I'm like scared, of course, like everybody scared, you know, this if happens, how I can be stay strong and mental, you know. I just wanted to learn.
You got me. If you ever need to reach out to me, man, don't hesitate. Yo, P, I'm having a hard time getting through this. Man, I got you.
Yeah, I sprained my ankle in my church league, you know, game the other week. Jackie's got a bad back, so if that ever pops up, just give us a call.
Okay.
He got a bad sciatic. He called me.
Before PG?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Just, well, you know, you got the leg, ankle, and then back, so well, we got
He called me every other day needing advice for his sciatic, so.
Yeah. I need Ben Gates. But no, anyways, y'all, before we go, since you are a guest, we can't leave without letting our guests have some fun with our boy PG. And today we're going to do PG's Always Starting Five. But since you are an international player, we're going to do the greatest international players of all time. Now, what we do is we start, you can pick yourself in this, okay? Go from point guard.
I want to stay humble.
All the way
I
to center.
Like...
okay?
Yeah. Okay?
So point guard all the way to center. And since you are a guest, you get to go first, but only international players.
Okay.
Point guard first.
Point guard first, okay. I can say Luka for point guard right now. He's been great.
I'm gonna go Steve Nash. Steve Nash as my point.
Yeah.
Two guard.
I'm gonna go with Ginobili for a second.
Oh, it's pressure.
Yeah.
Two guard, I'm gonna go Petrovic. He duked it out against MJ. Backstory, if y'all didn't know about that, he was one of the players that MJ gave respect to, that didn't fear him, and dog could hoop, big time scorer, big time player.
Let me say, go with some Turkish man. I can say Hito Turkoglu.
He did get me with that one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I was actually a big fan of Hito.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I like he just could do everything. He could shoot. He could handle. He could play point forward, high IQ. Pace, like I was a big fan of him. We played him my rookie year.
Did he?
Or my second year in the playoffs. And it was. I mean, he was later and older in his career, but it was just like a wild moment getting a match up against him.
It's like,
So great pick there.
You got it.
Right, stop stalling.
I know. Yeah, you see what I did there?
Yeah, you're trying to think and stuff.
My three, I'm going to go Dirk as my three.
I swear I was about to say
I'm
going to
go Dirk at my three.
I'm going to
save the problem. I'm going to go Dirk at my three.
And why Dirk?
Dirk was that guy.
Give me a lesson on why you pick E. Dirk.
Dirk was that guy. I mean, what do you mean? Okay. Got the patent one leg.
Big,
like,
big five, huh?
Big five. I got to go big five. You got Luka at point. Like, we got to match up. Right. We might have to switch. You know what I mean?
I'm going to go with Giannis in the four.
Giannis at the four.
Yeah.
Great pick.
Wow.
So you got some length, you got defense there. My four.
Don't say Jokic or something to go for.
I'm gonna go Kukoc.
Ooh.
I'm gonna go Kukoc. I need some shooting. And really I can swap those two. Dirk and Tony, but I'm gonna go Kukoc as my four.
They're not gonna move that fast though together, huh?
No, we not, Steve.
No, I'm gonna go back.
Everybody space,
huh?
Steve Nash, just create.
Let me get.
And you can pick yourself.
Jokic, of course. You let me like troll that pass rim to rim. You know.
Yeah, no, that's a tough five. It's hard to match up with that five. I'm gonna go. I gotta go with Hakeem. I gotta go Hakeem at the five. Yeah, it's only right.
Yeah, it's a little that's cheating though. Hakeem played for America too, so like, you know.
Thank you.
It's okay though.
I can't use Hakeem there.
You could.
Okay. All right. Well, that wraps it up right there. Hey, you are the first guest to come through and receive some merch from Podcast P.
So right here we got some hats,
shirts,
love it,
sweater,
love it.
Hey, that is a wrap. Appreciate you again, brother, and best of luck to you, man.
Thank you, man.
Yes, sir.
Glad to be here.